So did you know that Jesus prayed for you and me? What did he pray?
I pray that they will be one.
When we love, it will lead to unity. I am 100% confident it is at the heart and the will of God that his church be unified.
Hey everyone, my name is Shaylin Ford and welcome to The Power of One. Right now, Pastor Greg is in a series called What's God Really Like? He's delving into scripture and he's helping us understand the true character of God and how he relates to us in everyday life. This week's message is called God is a Healer. I know for me, I believe God is a healer, but there have been times that I had prayers that didn't get answered the way that I wanted to. So where does that leave me? I believe that you are going to see God as a healer in your life as well. And Pastor Greg is going to unpack some things for you today that will give you something to cling to in times that feel uncertain.
Before I start to even open the Bible and get into it, I want to just introduce the complexity of the conversation of God as healer. I'm here to tell you today, I don't have the answer as to the massive question as to why and when does Almighty God choose to intervene in the affairs of human beings and do miracles? When does he choose to do the supernatural? And it's more than just a specific prayer that you pray or a specific belief that you have, because there are many of you today who can say, I believed and I prayed and it didn't happen like what I was hoping for or what I prayed for. And so we just have to embrace that. We have to be honest about that. And I have to tell you, I don't have an answer for you as to why God chooses that. That's above my pay grade. That's way above my pay grade. And in fact, it'll be one of the first questions I ask God when I meet him face to face. But I want to take some time and say, in the middle of the confusion and the questions, we do have some things we can cling to. We do have some certainties and we do have some answers. And so today what I want to do is I want to talk to you about three ways that God heals. Three ways that God heals. All right. I want to start actually first talking about health in general. Okay, I want to define what does it mean to be healed or what does it mean to be whole. In the book of Luke chapter 10, Jesus, I've referenced this a few times, so if some of you, this will be a refresher, but it's going to create a foundation for our conversation. In Luke 10, a lawyer comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, what's the greatest law of the 613 laws? And Jesus said, you're a lawyer, you're really smart, what do you think it is? And so they have this conversation, Luke 10:27. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, Jesus adds that one in. And so this is how we are made up. This is known as the Great Commandment, the Great Commandment. Heart is emotional, okay? We are emotional beings. Soul, spiritual beings. Mind, mental beings. Strength, physical beings. And neighbor, relational. What would it look like to be fully healed and healthy? It would look like healing to be whole and healed emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, and relationally. Jesus understood this. In fact, there was a time that Jesus healed somebody and then he went back and dealt with them. In John chapter 5, there's a man who's at the pool of Bethesda, and it says in John 5:5-6, there was a man lying there. He had been sick. Watch this. He had been sick for 38 years. Guy had been sick for 38 years. Jesus saw him and he knew he'd been ill for a long time. And he asked him, would you like to get well? They end up in a conversation. Jesus ends up healing the man of his illness. And then it says in verse 14, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, watch this. Now you are well, so stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Well, why was Jesus saying that? Because he was planning to put the smack down on this guy? No. Jesus was saying this because he's saying, sir, here is the reality about wellness. Here's the reality about health and wholeness. You could get healed of your 38-year issue of your body and not deal with the issues of the heart and the emotion and the relationship and the soul and go out and sabotage yourself even though you've been healed. You thought the issue was the issue, but the issue was only part of the issue. Jesus wanted to make sure he was all the way healed. I can deal with the 38-year issue, but if there's a lingering issue of the emotions, if there's a lingering issue in a relationship, if there's a lingering issue of the spiritual, he said, there's a reason you're continuing to live in patterns of sin. And it's not just because you're a bad dude. It's because you need some healing in your life. And I healed your illness, but there's still healing that needs to be done. So what we have to understand when it even comes to God as a healer, God doesn't just heal one area. For you to be fully healed and fully whole, you got to deal with all of it. And of course, without exception, everyone in the room deals with trauma and brokenness and issue in all of these areas. Okay, and of course, we know there are some common pitfalls that people fall into. You have a broken emotion from a broken relationship. What do? Well, sometimes people do one of two things. Either spiritually, they either turn to God and throw their whole being into his word and go, okay, I'm hurt now. I'm coming fully to God. Or they reject God altogether. They swing the pendulum one way or the other. Physically, what do? They broken emotion, broken relationship. What do? Well, they either go get a revenge body and cut their body fat down to nothing and get healthier than they've ever been. Or they eat chunky monkey ice cream, gallons, by the gallons, breakfast, lunch, dinner, all right? Why? Because I'm trying to deal with this brokenness, all right? Relationally, they either cut everybody off and turn into a hermit or they go turn up and they're the life of the party, all right? Well, how do we deal with this? Well, here's the thing. These five areas are inextricably linked. You are all five. I can't take my emotions out of my body, okay? It's all connected. And so if I'm going to be healthy, I've got to deal with all of it. So yeah, it's good, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things will be added to you as well. So we do start there, but we have to understand it's a deep work that God does. Amen. Now, how does God heal? How does God heal? I'm going to give you three different ways that God heals, and he doesn't do all three of these in every situation, but he does all three of these in the world and in people, all right? The first one is that God sometimes heals instantly, okay? Instantly. You will find in your heart, soul, mind, strength, and neighbor, there are some times and some instances, and we thank God for them, when God deals with something right now. 37 times recorded in the Gospels, Jesus does a miracle. Okay, and that's everything from turning water into wine or, calming the storm or feeding 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. But a lot of his miracles were healing. It says in Matthew 15:30, it says a vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, and those who couldn't speak and many others. And they laid them before Jesus and he healed them all. So he didn't just do 37 healings. He did tons of healings. It's just referenced 37 times in the Gospels. In Luke 17, it says he healed as he went. So there's a lot that he does instantly where he would heal somebody right away. And he heals in all different ways. In John 9, verse 6, there was a man who was blind. Okay, and so it says Jesus spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Which begs the question, how much saliva did Jesus have? Because that's a lot, I mean, to make mud. And then he spread the mud over the man's blind eyes. And then he tells him, you know, go to this, wash your eyes out. And the guy's like, yeah, I was planning to. And he goes and he does it. And it says in verse 15, when the Pharisees asked him about it, he told him, he put mud over my eyes. And when I washed it away, I could see. Instant. It's funny because this sets off a whole big thing because they're going, well, Jesus couldn't be from God because he healed on the Sabbath. And so he must be of the devil or whatever. And this man's like, I don't know, man. He goes, all I know is I once was blind, but now I see. You know, you guys can ask me all the questions you want. I just know, you know, he spit on the ground. And next thing I knew, I washed it off and I could see. And it was an instant miracle, which, you know, again, people wonder why did Jesus, you know, spit on the ground? And the answer very clearly is, I don't know. I'm really not sure. He didn't have to. He didn't need his saliva. There's a little conjecture if you do a little digging into history and everything in that day. Like to us, it's super odd. It is strange. Okay, I'll just say it's strange. But to us, it's super odd that Jesus would use saliva as medicine. But it actually, in that day, there was a belief that the saliva of dignitaries had certain kind of healing type of curative qualities. And so what many theologians believe is that Jesus essentially was leaning into the culture of that day to say, hey, you guys have this belief. He was talking about who he was. Now, I'm not just going to deal with your sight, but I'm giving a revelation of who he was. But I'm going to be honest, it gets more disgusting. In Mark 7, this is real. This is in your Bible. You got to fact check me later. Mark 7, there's a man who is deaf and he can't speak. He can't hear or talk. And they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus goes and he sticks his fingers in the man's ears. And then Jesus spits on his own fingers and puts them on the man's tongue. And then he says something to him that means open. And then the guy just starts hearing and talking. And then there's Mark 8. In Mark 8, okay, I know it's getting a little intense in here, but I'm just reading you the Bible. Okay, that's my job. That's what they ask me to do, all right? Mark 8, it says, when they arrived in Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus. Now watch this. They begged him to touch the man and heal him, and Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village, then spitting on the man's eyes. Jesus had a sense of humor, dude. I don't care what. He spit right on his eye. You thought the mud was bad. He just walks up. He's like, come here. That's word, okay? People are like, I like a church that preaches the word. Do you? Do you? Now watch this. This is where it gets good. He laid his hands on him and he asked, watch this. Can you see anything now? And the man looked around. Yes, he said. Now watch. He said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. Sit with that for a minute. I see people, he said, but I can't see them very clearly. This is the only miracle, 37 miracles of Jesus recorded. This is the only miracle that is progressive. It's a process. It's the only one that wasn't complete right away. Every other person Jesus healed was fully healed. Lame person stood up. Leprosy dried up. Blind could see, except this one. He said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. He said, they look like trees walking around. I'm still confused. I'm not done. There's still work that needs to be done. Verse 25. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and they were open, and his sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. In some situations, in some healings, it doesn't happen in an instant. It happens over time. Sometimes God uses time to heal wounds. Sometimes God touches your eyes more than once. Sometimes the first time you see better than you used to, but you don't see as good as you need to. You're going to make progress still. You're not where you're going to eventually be. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I'm going to be. I see shapes. I see people, he says. I just don't see them clearly yet. And so throughout the process of Jesus continuing to touch him and continuing to show up for him, eventually he was able to see things in clarity. And friend, here's what I'm going to tell you. I think a lot of times we pray for something to happen in an instant in our emotions, our spirit, our minds, our bodies, or our relationships. And certainly there are times, and we are thankful for those times, that God will give a breakthrough right now and I see something. A healing right now and we're restored. And it's, you know, we're in a new place. But a lot of times, it's a process and it's slower than you want it to be. We all would love for the healing to be instantaneous, but often God uses the progressive. And the lie of the enemy is that you're alone. The lie of the enemy is that you're hopeless. If you don't really understand what God is doing here, you'll think that what you're experiencing right now is all there is, and you just come for a monologue or a message in a worship time, and you miss the deep healing work that God does through his body. Yeah, there was somebody that hurt you, but there's somebody else that's ready to help you. And God uses people full of the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead to work together as image bearers of Jesus. What's God really like? He's a healer. The third way, the third and final way that God heals is actually through eternity. My friend Judy, two Thursdays ago, went to be with Jesus. She passed away, and if you really think about it, Judy's more alive than any of us right now. We don't grieve like people who are hopeless. That we understand that Judy is alive, and the ultimate healing, the full wholeness, does come in eternity. I really prayed about how to deliver this part of this message today because I realized a few things. I realized there are some today who are in so much pain in their mind, so much pain in their emotion, so wounded. And what we often think is that the beginning and end of this world is all there is. So when something happens that brings us to the awareness of the finality on this earth, again, a death or something that can't be undone here, we feel like it's doomed, it's done, it's finished. And yet this really is just a leg of the journey. And I realize this is a sensitive topic because there are some who are in so much pain that they begin to long for death. And some even succumb to that. And what I want to do is I want to encourage you with, first of all, when we do leave this life and we go to be with God, I want you to understand the healing that takes place there. Isaiah 25, he gives a prophecy of eternity, and he says of God, he will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face and remove the disgrace of his people from the whole earth. In Revelation 21:4, John on the Isle of Patmos is giving a prophecy of what will happen in eternity. He says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 of this life, he says, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. In other words, we have the questions that we posed at the beginning of why did God heal this and not that? Why did God show up here and not there? Why a miracle here and not a miracle there? He said, hey, we see this reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these things remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. I quickly give you this, the deepest work that the Lord has done in this series in my life has come through this. You know, I've shared with you the journey of my sons, both of them on the autism spectrum, and how God has used this. And I realized there was a lot of my feelings around my sons that I felt robbed because I wanted to have, you know, kind of this father-son relationship here. And now autism has changed that whole relationship. And, you know, I prayed for instantaneous healing for them, and they didn't get it. And yet God's working in a progress and process. And so I was preaching the first message in the series. I was preparing the message, and I talked about how, you know, no healthy relationship is built on a foundation of fear. And so it says in 1 John 4 that perfect love casts out fear. It says if you're afraid of God, it's for fear of punishment, which means you've not yet experienced his perfect love, right? So I'm talking about his love and that we're not supposed to live in fear, and perfect love casts out phobos and all this. And as I'm preparing that message, I feel conviction because I realize the way I'm fathering is I'm using fear and shame. And so my orthodoxy is pretty good. My orthopraxy, which is the practice of the orthodoxy, wasn't so good. And so I realized, like my son Hudson, 10 years old, he's getting a lot of trouble at school. He learned profanities. He's been using those. He would like melt down. So one of the things about at least my son's version of autism is whatever he's feeling, it's there, right? I was able to be manipulative at 10. He's not. If he's feeling it, boom, you're going to see it on full display. So I tried everything. I'm giving him a pep talk on the way to school. Okay, buddy, if you start to feel it, what are you going to do? I'm going to ask for a timeout. Yeah, you're going to ask for help, right? Yeah, who are you going to ask? Miss Amber. Yeah. Yeah, okay. And then we get incident report. We have incident reports this thick of basically things he's doing and saying. And so I tried everything. So then we talk consequences. Okay, there'll be consequences if you do this. Tried all different consequences. And then I would get these incident reports. I would take it, I would say, did you do this? Like, yeah. I'm like, this is bad. You don't do this. Okay. And then I took away all his DVDs because he's obsessed with DVDs. He doesn't like to watch them. He just likes to shake them and look at them and stuff. And so he's got a bunch of DVDs. And so I take all of his DVDs and then I put him in timeout. And if you do this, the consequence is timeout. And so then he and I have games we like to play, but you don't get to play the game if you do this. And so he's just in his room. All right. And so I'm sitting here, I'm reading this in 1 John 4. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bet the farm on 1 John 4. I'm going all in on 1 John 4. I just make the call. And I decide to parent in a way I really had never done before. And I decide I am going to drown this kid in love. That's it. There, I'm actually going to remove the consequence. So he goes home, comes off the bus. Okay, I'm not telling you to do that. You can do it if you want. I'm just telling you my story. Comes off the bus. Okay, I look at his incident report. Dude dropped the F-bomb. Not kidding. And kicked a girl on the playground. These are just like horrific sins. And so I said, I flipped the whole script. I take it. I said, did you do this? He said, yes. I said, this is not you. This is not you. I said, you are good. He's like, he's thinking, is this a setup? I said, you are good. Hudson is good. I touch his heart. I said, you are good. Touch your heart. He's like, I said, you're good. Say it. He said, I am good. I said, you are good. I said, I love you. I just ran out of stuff to say, so I kept saying the same stuff. You know, kids with autism like to say the same stuff, so I kept saying it. You are good. You are good. I love you. You are a good boy. Hudson's a good boy. Say it. I'm a good boy. Yeah. Yeah. You are good. This is not you. This is not you. Every time I hear him do something, I go, hey, Hudson, that's not you. That's not you. You're good. Friend, I'm just going to tell you. For about a year and a half, we didn't probably go 2 or 3 days in a row without an incident report. In the last month and a half, he's maybe gotten 3 or 4. Now, he did pull the fire alarm, which is a crime. It's a crime. It's a crime. That's true. They evacuated the whole school. Fire. In his defense, it does say pull down. You're good. Obedient. Obedience. Just don't ever do it again. Massive progress. Now here, this is the thing. I'm going to tell you two things. What I realized was this. In my good intention of trying to get him to act right, I put him in timeout. I withheld myself from him. He comes home. I take this 1 John 4. I go full 1 John 4. I gave him all his DVDs back, and we played all night. And I'm worried. I'm like, dude, is he going to think that because he kicked a girl and everything, and now we play? And I'm just telling you, transformational. Here's the best part. I come home the other day. I get home. Shaylin goes, I was going to text you, but I just wanted to see the look on your face. I had to tell you about. I said, what? She said the other day. She said, today, I hear the boys in the other room, and Miles, who's our younger, he's doing bad things. And Hudson said, Miles, that's not you. That's not you. He said, you're a good boy, Miles. You're good. Now, I'm out of time, but I have to connect this dot. Take your time, Doc. This is not just a cute story, friend. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is not just feel-good stuff. This is what's God really like. Are you walking in shame? Are you walking in fear? Because here's what I'm going to tell you. What I would prefer would be an instant miracle of autism leaving my house. That's not my reality. But I have two blessed hopes. The first blessed hope is that someday in eternity, my sons are going to be completely whole. The beginning and end of this life is not all there is. Hey, I think I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I'm full of hope. And that's what I believe. I really do. I really believe it. I believe whatever Abba's preparing on this. Jesus said, hey, don't worry about it. Abba's making something happen in eternity. He's preparing something better than what you could even think. Gospel writers, John's trying to come up with it. He's like, it's like streets of gold. Is it? I mean, I don't know if they're actual gold, but I think it was the best thing John could come up with. I think his brain was like blown up. He's like, it's like a crystal sea. Is it real crystals? People sit around. Is it real crystals? I don't know. John was trying to come up with the best thing. Bottom line, it's above that. Abba is doing something beyond us, bigger than us, in eternity. This is just a leg of the journey. It's like this and the rest of eternity. God's doing something. I just have hope that the ultimate healing is going to happen there. But I know this too. It's not instant for me, and it may not be instant for you, but here's what I'm going to tell you. There's beauty in the progressive healing. Beauty. Not easy. Don't hear me wrong. I didn't say it's easy. I said it's beautiful. There's beauty in it. And along the way, God will show you something about yourself. And God will give you a piece of relief. And God will show you something deeper. And God will do something in your situation of progressive healing that gives you a taste of Him. What's God really like? God's a healer. And it may not look the way that you wanted it to look, but God does heal. So in whatever situation of healing God has you in, embrace it. Embrace it.
So what is God really like? God is a healer. In your life, God will always bring healing in some way. It may not look the way you wanted it to. It may not be linear. It may not be the way that you expected a situation to unfold. But He is a God that is always available to you. He loves you and He's walking beside you. Let's go to Him in prayer right now. Lord, thank You so much that no matter where we are and what we're going through, You are a God of comfort. You are a God that never leaves us. And so that I ask today that no matter what someone is walking through, that they would feel Your nearness. They would feel Your comfort and Your presence in their life. God, I ask that You would start a work of healing in every life that needs it today. That You would move in their hearts and in their situations and bring them the healing that they need most. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being with us, and I'll see you next week.